heard we had a great one Thursday night. And anybody in our group is going to be speaking anywhere, let us know. So we're going to try to support him. I'm going to try to go out at night. I was told that it's okay. I got permission. I got told some things today, too, about, you know. Anyway, I'm on the podcast. They don't want to hear my nonsense. Tonight's special. We're starting the big book over for, I think, the 10th or 11th time, probably the 10th. I started the Saturday morning meeting in September of 08. I started the Wednesday night meeting in January of 09. I started the Wednesday meeting. I started the Sunday meeting about May, I think April or May of 09, for a variety of different reasons. And in the beginning, they had a little bit different focus, but in the end, it was all about the book and doing the steps. And now I used the big book, and we used the steps we took and carried this message, and we started the cover. We're going to look at the cover next week, the first page. We go through the instructions to page 164, and this year we read Dr. Bob's Nightmare and Acceptance is the Answer. And when we finish on Wednesday or Saturday, I'll read two different stories and do those. It's special. I was thinking, you know, a lot of people study the 12 and 12, and they have 12 and 12 meetings, and it's really good because you go to the first page, and it says step one, so you know where to start. And a lot don't look and see that it was written in 1953. Now, AA was started in 1935 when Bill and Bob met. And then they had 40 people sober in 1937, and they said, you know, we've got something going. And they wanted to write a book about what they did, and they published it in the beginning of 1939. And we're going to look at, but I'm explaining why the difference between the 12 and 12 and the big book. And the big book was their testimony on what they did. What they did, it's a testimony, just like the New Testament is a testament of what happened. This is a testimony of what they did, the directions, the steps they took. The 12 of 12 was written later by one man. It was not written as a textbook. It's a series of essays about how he looks at the steps after 14 years. It's like somebody writing a very good analysis of the Book of John. It's good. But the Book of John is the Book of John. And we study the big book because it is the big book. It's the textbook. And I'm going to show you how it's laid out. And it's a textbook with specific directions so that you accomplish one thing. You'll have power not to drink. And it won't be from you. It'll be from God. And then you'll have a power to live so you won't have to drink. Right, Eric? And you'll get that power from God. So this is a book about God. This is a God book, how to find a relationship with God. And Paula said it so good last week, to find the truth. And the truth sets you free. And so I got this handout put together. If there's anybody new, this will really help you see what we're trying to do here in this in AA, the Program of Recovery. And
did we introduce ourselves?
We forgot, but we won't do it now.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Sorry. I'm sorry if that upset you, Dino. I'm getting old, Dino, and I can barely get here.
Welcome to the club.
All right. Those listening on the podcast, this is a typical AA group. The first part of the handout is Big Book Goals. I think all these handouts for those, we have people listening all over the world to the podcasts. It should be on the site under Resources of Recovery. But the Big Book has a table of contents, which most people never look at, right? And the first chapter is Doctor's Opinion and Bill's Story is the second chapter. And that tells us the problem. You see, you need to know what the problem is to know what the solution is. Does anybody think that? Because
yes.
I would see people in my practice, and they're like, they couldn't walk. Well, that's a problem. But if I don't know why they can't walk, then I can't help them. Now, we know we can't drink and we can't live and our lives are a mess, but we need to know why. And the step one is about powerless. Anybody recognize that? Now, it's one thing to say you're powerless and speak it, and it's another to know it in your heart. You understand the difference? I can intellectualize that I'm powerless, but I have to know it. I have to know it in here, right, Gary? It's got to be right in the heart. Now, the second goal of the big book is to tell me the solution. Now, chapter 2 says there is a solution. Isn't that, it's very clever how they hid that in there. There is a solution. And they, on page 24, in there's a solution, they tell us that at certain times, which means at any time, the alcoholic has no defense against the first drink. Now, what does that mean? It means if you're reading this book and you're an alcoholic, you're going to drink again. Now, the next page, at the top, it says there is a solution. Right, Norm?
Right.
And none of us would admit, you know, search our pride and admit our shortcomings. But they tell you in that one page what the solution looks like. And they say the central facts of their lives is that they have a relationship with their Creator that has revolutionized their outlook on life, their attitudes, and given them a power greater than themselves, which will help them live. And so there is a solution. Then in chapter 2, it also tells us about Dr. Young and Roland Hauser and how he eventually got to New York and he met Abby Thatcher, met Bill W., and Bill W. met Dr. Bob. We're here today. More about alcoholism in chapter 3 is to tell me one thing and one thing only, that my mind will tell me to drink when I don't want to. And there's no defense against it. Does anybody have that? If you have that, you need this book. Now, if you don't have that, you can choose not to drink. You don't need to be here. Just don't drink, right? And we could just sing songs and then go home. But if you can't keep from taking the first drink, then you're going to need God and you're going to need the rest of the book. We agnostics is to tell me where the power is. Where is God? And it's to tell me two things. And Eric, I think, said it. We worship ourselves and our thinking. Anybody else do that? We worship our reasoning. We reason everything out.
Yeah.
People come in, they look at the steps, they decide which step they're going to need, right? And which step they don't need. And which big book, and I don't want to listen to that guy talk anymore. I'm never going to come back to this meeting. And we worship that, right? And it says, change your mind. And it tells us where God is. He's deep down inside of all of us, but we've blocked him out. Now, if that's true, and it is true, I absolutely know that's true, then I can unblock him, right? And all I have to do is learn tools to do that. And so we agnostics, and tells me that I need power. It says in We Agnostics, lack of power, that's my dilemma. And it says there, it says something very subtle. It says to die an alcoholic death or to live a spiritual life are not easy alternatives to face. Well, that sounds stupid, doesn't it? Everybody does. Who wants to die an alcoholic death? I'm going to live a spiritual life, right? Right? But it says to face. The alcoholic can't see it. They think there's a third door. I'm not that bad yet. I'm not going to die. And then they don't realize that there are only two doors, and then they don't make it. And then it says lack of power. That's our problem. And where and how do we find the power? Well, where we find it is in We Agnostics, and how we find it is in chapter 5, 6, and 7. And so we need power. We're powerless. Now, how do we find the power? Now, I can say I'm powerless all day long, and we can hold hands and sing we're powerless. That won't change me. It doesn't give me power. It doesn't give me power sitting in the room with a bunch of powerless people, and we all say we need power, and we talk about it. It won't help me. I have to have specific instructions on how to find the power and have specific steps that I take to find the power. And that's what the rest of the book is, the action necessary for recovery. So knowing the problem and knowing the solution won't help you unless you take the actions to achieve it. Bill W. knew what was wrong with him. Dr. Silkworth told him he couldn't drink and he couldn't quit drinking. And then the Oxford group told him that he needed God. And then the Oxford group had six steps, which we're going to look in the handout. And when he worked those steps, then he had a relationship with God. Now, the next picture is says road chart to decision. Step one says problem, lack of power. And the problem is a physical allergy. Anybody have that?
Yes.
Anybody break out in a rash when you drink?
No.
Anybody get short of breath? No. What happens when you drink? You want a second one. Anybody else have that problem?
Yes.
Can anybody just take one drink in here?
No.
You could, maybe for one time. But once it's in your body, you'll drink the next day. And the mental obsession, so physical allergy means I have no control once I put it in my body. Mental obsession means I have no choice not to take the first drink. Now, I don't have a choice to take the drink today. So you're looking at, well, he looks pretty good. He's been doing this meeting. What the hell's going on? Well, I don't have any choice on my own. But I have a choice with God, so I choose to seek God today. You get it?
Yeah.
And if I choose to seek God, God gives me the power. Now, it took me a long time to understand that. So my telling myself I'm not going to drink today won't do any good. But I have to say, God, help me not to drink today. And so that's the problem. Then the solution is the next step two, is the fellowship that supports us to take the spiritual experience that changes me. So we come to AA and we have a fellowship of human power, right? But we all are seeking God. And so then we guide someone to the spiritual experience and it changes them. Step three is a decision. You're going to decide between two things, insanity or death, or sanity and sobriety. Now, there's no third arrow. And I think people hit bottom when they understand there's no third arrow. They either have to have God's help or they're done. And on page 59, which we read tonight, it says, there's one who has all power, that one is God, right? May you find him now, right?
Yeah.
And it says, we were at the turning point, right? So we turned. And we had to either turn towards God or back towards ourselves. And then the next line after that is, these are the steps we took, which was the program of their recovery. So if you have this problem, you might want to do the steps in AA. Now, if you have another plan that'll work, that's great. Don't do the steps. But if you don't have a plan that works, try the steps. Now, don't come to AA and come for a while and leave and said AA didn't work. Of course it didn't work, because you didn't do the steps. And if you do the steps and you keep doing them, it'll work. You will not fail. Now, a lot of people come and they do some work and they don't do it all, and then they stop doing it. So you will fail. AA will fail. You'll fail in AA if you don't do the deal and do it all the time. You can't be sober long enough to not do the deal. Now, there's some people who don't work the steps. They stay sober, but they're completely miserable. So if you want to stay sober and miserable and not work the steps, that's your choice too. But if you don't want to be miserable, sober, work the steps. So does this chart help?
Yes.
All right, now here's another one. Disease concept of alcoholism. See, I could give out these eight pages and charge $30,000 for a treatment center, because this is really all you should learn in treatment. The disease concept of alcoholism. Now, it looks complicated, but it's pretty simple. You have physical on one side and mental. If you have the physical can't drink allergy, once you put alcohol in your body, and they talk about this acetone level creates a craving, I don't know. Whatever it is, alcoholics have it. Non-alcoholics don't have this. They stir their drinks. They wave over them. You ever see the people wave over the drink? They had enough? Yeah, there are no drink waivers in here, are there? No, no. There are no, I'm only going to buy a little bottle. No, no. Because it starts the spree. Now, once you drink and you have a spree, if you look at the bottom, nothing good happens. You emerge from the spree and you're restless. That means you don't feel good. You can't stand yourself. You're irritable. Everybody bothers you. Anybody have that? You're discontented. That means nothing that happens are you contented with. Now, that's how I live my whole life, sober. Now, this is when they're sober. And then you have guilt, remorse from doing it, and you have resentment and self-pity and fear. Anybody have that?
Yes.
Now, if alcoholics are sober without the program, you can be in the fellowship, but without doing the steps, and you get restless, irritable, discontented, you get angry, you have self-pity and fear, how many steps do you have to take before you drink, you see? Now, here's this little thermometer. Now, some people won't get very far up here, and they'll drink again. Some people will get to a certain level that they don't have to drink yet. But then we all get to that point where it's necessary to drink. And you can't stop it. You see, willpower won't work. It overrides the willpower when you get to that line that says necessary to drink. You see that? And once you reach that point where your mind tells you need a drink, nothing will stop you. Now, if you have one drink, you're screwed. Because then you go all the way over here to the allergy again. And then guess what? You emerge remorseful, irritable, restless, and discontent, right? So this cycle will keep going on and on and on unless something changes, right? Mm-hmm. Has anybody lived this? Mm-hmm. Has anybody not lived this? And so how many steps do you have to take to keep you from taking that drink? Now, the steps are designed to treat fear, self-pity, resentment, to treat discontentment, irritable, and restless. The steps treat that so you don't have to take alcohol. So your mind doesn't tell you it's necessary to drink. Today my mind tells me I better seek God, pray, call someone, do inventory it, right? Work 6 and 7, say, God, remove my character defects. So you see that? Did this help? So if you have this, you might want to read the book, you see? Yeah. Get the hint. Now this is a great page. It says believeness, willingness, investigation at the top. Now, a new member is not somebody who's new to AA or anything. A new member is somebody who hasn't done the steps. And the old member is one who's worked steps 1 through 9 and living in 10 and 11. Because somebody who hasn't worked the steps can't give hope, experience, and strength to the new person, right? They could just share their experience with the disease. So the old member could be somebody with a week. Abby Thatcher had 60 days when he went to Bill W. Bill W. went to new people right away. He couldn't get anybody sober except Dr. Bob. And that was at 6 months. And then he and Dr. Bob, after Dr. Bob sobered up, how many days did they wait to go see AA number 3? 3 days. In fact, they went the next day, but the person they found wasn't ready. And so they found Bill Dodson. And how long does it take, should you take before you work the steps? Well, you better work them before your emotional thermometer gets to the point where you're gonna drink. So I've heard people that are working on step 1 with a sponsor. How do you work on step 1? How do you work on being powerless? You live step 1. There's nothing to work. If you haven't lived it and you don't have that feeling, the sponsor can't make you feel it. So my sponsor, Cliff, used to say, get him more booze. And I'm not being mean about it, but you have to live step 1. You have to hit bottom inside. Either you have it or not. And then they work on step 2. How long does it take for you to be willing to believe that there's somebody besides yourself that can help you? Now, I just said that. How long should that take? You're miserable. Your life's falling apart. You can't keep from drinking. How long does it take for you to be willing to believe? Well, if you haven't taken step one, you won't take step two. And then step three, they're working on step three. Step three is a decision to change because I'm dying. How long should it take to do that? It's called surrender. You see what I mean? The first three steps shouldn't take very long. And then the rest of this, 4 through 9, shouldn't take very long at all. But AA has this thing that working these steps is like climbing Mount Everest. I mean, it's just, especially the 4-step. You hear about the 4-step. It's 12 pages in the big book. You make 4 columns on all your resentments and 4 columns on fears, and you list all the people you had relationships with that you were a total a-hole with. It's not hard to do, is it? No. All right, so we'll have no discussion tonight. I'm going to roll. So you got the old member and the new member. Now, how does a new member change? He believes because of the old members, right? He becomes willing to change because he sees these changes. And he investigates what they did. And it says in the big book that if you have the reality of the hopelessness and futility of life as you're living it, there's nothing left to do, then pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools that are left at your feet. It's a toolbox. Everybody here should get a toolbox. It says the 12 steps. In fact, give them 2 toolboxes and give them a choice. One has 12 steps on it. The other says, continue to live as you are and die. And which one do you want to pick up? You see, when you look at it that way, it makes it pretty easy. And when you do these steps, it says it revolutionizes your whole attitude towards life, towards our fellows and towards God's universe. And my attitude toward life changed, and I'm here to serve God and others, not myself. And toward my fellows, we're all God's kids. We're all spiritually ill. We need to be kind and considerate and love each other. And towards God's universe, I want to be with God in the now, with him forever. And that's the 4th dimension of existence that they talk about in the big book. So anybody think this is a good idea? So if you're new, find an old member, somebody who's worked the steps, pick up the kit of spiritual tools, and you will not fail. All right, now the next page. This is where we got AA from. We think this book was written by geniuses. They were alcoholics. They were just like us. Everything in this big book was taken from elsewhere. I've studied how it was actually put together. I'm going to do a talk on where the big book came from, all the books they used, and where they took these ideas. But the Oxford group that Bill W. went to was a group of people trying to live fundamental Christian principles and to lead a life of service to God and others, and they had 6 steps. The surrender step was that was their first step, and that has made our conscious decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Now that's step 3. Now notice, we added steps 1 and 2 because you need to take steps 1 and 2 to be able to surrender and make the decision, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and then they examine their sins in the Oxford group, and that's our searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves in step 4. They shared and confessed, which admitted to God, to ourselves and other human beings, the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 5. They make restitution, and that's our amend steps, 8 and 9. Notice we added 8 that we'd be willing to do this. And we added 6 and 7, which is where we want to give our character defects to God and we want him to remove them. And that was kind of implied in the Oxford group sharing and confessing. Then we ask God for guidance, and that's our steps 10, 11, prayer and meditation, prove our conscious contact with God, and then we witness. And it's because of witness step that Abby Thatcher was told to find an alcoholic who was really bad at 60 days. He says, I know one, Bill W. He went to his kitchen in November 1934, and Bill said, I have enough booze throughout the day. I'll be okay. I'll listen to Abby. Abby started to talk about God. Bill's dying. He's alone at home. His wife's working. They have no money. Hasn't worked in years. He has liquor hidden all over the house. Abby says, you know, you need a religious idea and a simple program of action. We're going to talk about God. He says, oh, No. Right? And he's arguing with Abby about God while his life is completely gone. And Abby says to him, well, Bill, you know, you have your own reasoning. He says, why don't you just make your own concept of God? He couldn't argue with that. And once he did that, he opened his mind. He opened his mind to seeing truth. And so we witness, that's what we're supposed to do to new people. Now this next page, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to leave much time for discussion, but I think this is important to cover. This next page is from, it says, I think, and this shows us what the whole thing is about. I think the very first step, surrender, we start to get it. Because surrender produces the power of believing. Now, does that make sense? If you surrendered in step one, that your life is unmanageable, then you're going to, it makes you want to believe that there's a power. There's no way you could see or believe the truth until you surrendered your old perception of the truth. Now, isn't that brilliant? Because your old perception of the truth is that you weren't this bad, or you didn't have this problem, right? And it says, change actually begins with surrender, because you can't see another alternative until you surrender your way of doing things. I don't think it's better said than this. I have to give up my way of doing things. Now, we have some new people here, and I'm sorry, but we're not going to ask you what your plan is of recovery. Because your plan hasn't worked. And when I came, they didn't ask me my plan. I would have told them. I had a really good plan. It didn't work. I had to give up. And you know, I was so beaten down when I came that I said, I'll do anything they say. Anything they say. And I did. I said, I'll do anything they say. And I hope I'm still that way. It said, then the dominoes start to fall. You see, you have willingness. And then you believe, you're willing to change, you believe you can change. Anybody want to change? Anybody believe they can change?
Yes.
Good. Do we all want to decide to change, right?
Yes.
Right. But we have to take action to change. We have to work these steps all the time. Step 10 and 11 is how you work the steps every day, every minute, for the rest of your life. And then you have the results, which is faith. Faith in AA means trust in God. You trust God because you know God can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And that's it. It's as if you set up a row of dominoes. You push over the first one, it knocks over the second one, it knocks down the third one, and so on and so on. But there's no more energy. I like this after the first domino. All the energy comes from the first step, and Eric said it so well. The first step drives you. Now, if you have a sponsor and he's telling you to do the four step and you're dragging your toes, you haven't taken step one. I remember the moment of complete defeat. It was pretty bad. Anybody have a bad moment? All right, don't ever forget it. Because when you're saying, oh, I don't need to do this or I don't need to listen to this, you're saying it wasn't that bad. And then your mind will say, well, you quit drinking for a month. You can have one drink. As soon as you forget how bad it was, you're relapsing. You're getting away from that willingness to seek God. So that's why I wrote a thought on step zero. On the step zero is when you've decided to sober up, but you haven't worked any of the steps. So you're living in the problem with alcoholism. Now, we have some new people here. They may not know it. Alcoholism occurs when?
Sober.
When you're sober. When you're sober, you have that emotions, your restless, irritable, discontent. Your emotional barometer goes up. And then your mind says, I need a drink. Then you sober up again. You haven't worked the steps. You have no program of recovery, no relationship with God, and you get restless, irritable, discontented. And you have fear and anger and self-pity. Anybody do that? And then your emotional barometer goes up, and then you drink again. You see? And so that has to change. Now here is this arch. The big book tells you how you're going to build an arch to freedom. What are we going to be free of? The power of alcohol. We're going to be free of the bondage of self. Now, when I'm facing the arch, I'm living with Michael. It's not good. Michael's mind. You don't want my mind either. And then you become willing. That's step one. That's the foundation of the arch. Believing you can change is the cornerstone. The keystone of the arch is the decision in step three. It says that in the book. But you still haven't built the arch yet. So you want to build the arch. Anybody want to build the arch?
Yes.
Right. So the next thing is you build the arch. See the next page? It shows the arch with the keystone, and it shows the steps. You start with willingness, and you end up with faith on the other side. You see that? Isn't that powerful? That's the deal. Now, when you walk through, there's a road here now. Now, how do you stay on the other side of the arch? You keep doing steps 10 and 11 and 12 all the time. You see that? If you stop doing it, you get back on the other side. I like that analogy. Here's another great thing for new people, this bridge. We talked about this on Wednesday night. We come in here and we worship our reasoning. Anybody else do that? We still do. But this is in the beginning. And we believe we can change. That gets us on the bridge. Step three is a decision to change and to get rid of our will and live on God's will, right? Does this make sense? Then we take the actions, and then we're on the other side, and we have been living on God's will, and then we have faith and service. So if you just do half measures, you fall in the river. You see? This is a half measure thing. It doesn't work unless you do them all. And step one, two, and three, nothing's changed. So a lot of people say, well, I took my will and turned it over something, took it back all the time. You know, you hear that, new people. Well, they don't understand that you're going to do that the rest of your life. But you're going to work these steps to stay connected to God. But in the beginning, you don't know how to turn your will over to God. Does anybody know how to do that when they come in here? We would have done it, right? But we didn't know how to do it. The steps are specific instructions in this book on how to do that. And you know how I know it works? Because it worked for me. Did it work for Paula? Debbie?
Yep.
Steve? Stu?
Yep.
Right? I probably didn't say your name, so don't get resentment. You see, it works. So if you're new, this works. But it won't work unless you do it. And I can't make you get over the bridge. That's the problem I have when I sponsor people. I try to get them over the bridge. You know, I keep kicking their butt. And they don't want to go. And they have to want to go. Now, how do you become willing to cross the bridge? Pain. Step one, right? All right, now, here's a personality chart. It's not my personality, don't worry. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to go from a self-centered personality in which I am running the show, you see, me in the center, and I have resentment, fear, pride, and sex defects. And I'm very short of love, tolerance, patience, courage, humility, and wisdom. So I have too much of the bad things because I'm in self. Anybody relate to this?
Sorry.
We want to have a balanced personality. We want to have the qualities of God. Be love, patient, tolerant, courage, humility, wisdom. This is what we're trying to do with the steps. It says a spiritual experience is a personality change sufficient to recover from alcoholism. Anybody remember that? So we want to change our personality from the top personality to the bottom personality. And guess what? I have to do it all day long. But in the beginning, I don't even know what I need to change till I do step four, because I don't know what's wrong with me. All right, now, this next page is just another example of when I came in, I had too much fear and very little courage. Now I want more courage and less fear. When I came in, I had a lot of resentments. I had a lot more than this shows. I was all the way to the top. I had a little patience and love and tolerance if it would help me get my way. That was a joke. And then resentments, You see, and we want to change this. It's like a sliding scale. And you learn how to do this when you do 4 and 5, and then 6 and 7 is where you do this all day long. All right, now here's the last chart. We're almost done. You guys are a sigh of relief. This chart here, where you have self-will and God's will, and it's on the resources of recovery, this is the deal. When you come in, you don't realize this. You think your problem is drinking. Your problem is you block God out. You see that black line? You block God out, and when you do that, you have resentment, fear, and guilt, and remorse. And you're in self, and you're in conflict with everybody. Anybody ever have that? When you come in, did anybody have this? All of this. And what we want to do is change that and put God in the center all the time. And when God's in the center, then my instincts of life are based and controlled, and I'm in harmony with the world. So it says in the big book, you've heard, you'll read it, the new people don't know, but it says there's one choice you make in AA. Is God everything or nothing? Now, if God is nothing, this is what your life looks like. You see that? And if God is everything, this is how your life looks like. So which one do you want to choose? See, it's very simple choices, but a lot of new people can't even see them. It's not explained to them. So I have to seek God all day long. Now, I will get into self today. I don't know. She said something this morning. I can't remember. But, you know, I was getting the husband improvement course. And something, and I was going to say something. I stopped. I said, you know, love and tolerance, she's fine. I'm wrong. Doesn't matter what she said. Let's move on, Michael, right? Yep. And then I prayed to God, and within 5 seconds. So it can happen today. It can happen to any of you. You don't like the way somebody's driving. You go to the quick shop, they're not, somebody's in front of you with coupons. It can be endless, the things that bother alcoholics. You're back in self. So what you want to do in AA is learn how to see the world differently whenever you're bothered. If you're seeing it through your self-centered eyes, you're bothered. If you're seeing it through God's eyes, you'll never be bothered. And you learn to do that through the steps, and you do it the rest of your life. And then this is the three dimensions of life. Sorry, but we all have these. Now, on page 78, it says we're going to put our lives in order. Now, we want to put our lives in order with God, with steps 1, 2, and 3. Now, how was my life out of order with God? I was God. I played God. Anybody else do that? Didn't work. How was my mind out of order? I believed everything I thought. I was angry all the time, right? I was afraid. I was judging. I had character defects. And I learned in 4, 5, and 6, 7 that my thinking was wrong. And I was seeing things wrong. And I learned about my character defects and how I want to change. So 6 and 7 is how I change my thinking all day long. And 8 and 9, I make amends to the world. And so this is how I put my life in order. And I do this all day long. And then... the last page, the process of spiritual growth. Because what we really want to do is have spiritual growth, not perfection, right? Right, Norm? So we want to grow continuously. So we want to do these 12 steps all the time. Believing is the beginning of each thing that we must accomplish in our lives. That's true. If I don't believe I can do something, I'm not going to do it. To be successful, believing must become strong enough to incite a decision. Anybody decide to come here tonight? Mm-hmm. Well, you believed you could make it, and you decide to come, and you're here. Mm-hmm. But there's probably somebody who believed they should come, but decided to come, but then they decide not to come and get in their car. They're not here. Now, remember, Columbus believed he could change the world. He could go west to get east, right? And he believed he could do that. And then he decided to do it, and he found land. So you have to follow it with action. Once this decision is made, it has to become strong enough to incite action. The step 3 is a powerful step initially. The surrender step, the decision to seek God. Now, you have to do that every day. When I wake up, I pray immediately that God direct my thinking, divorce it from selfish desires, self-seeking motives. Why do I do that? Because I don't want to run the show today. Now, having said that, a half an hour later, I could be running the show. But then I know what to do. I stop. I don't feel good. I say, Michael, stop it. You're running the show. Let God run the show. Change what you're thinking. I don't like to be disturbed very long, so I don't even make it that complicated anymore. You're wrong, Michael. Change the way you're mind. Change the way you think. You want to be wrong, and that's just a hint to the new people. You don't want to be right anymore. You want to be wrong all the time. Because if you're wrong, you can change. If you're right and they're wrong, then you can't change them. It says, once the results are plain or clear, we have faith. Faith is true knowledge that comes as a result of action. And so step one is willing to change. Step two, believe you can change. That's why if you haven't hit complete bottom and you're completely willing to change, then it's not going to work. Now, hitting bottom doesn't mean you had a DUI. Hitting bottom is when you're completely done and you're completely willing to do anything to change because you can't stand it anymore. Because you can keep getting DUIs and be willing to change, but then you're not totally willing to change. It's not circumstances, it's inside. Then that leads to believe we change. That's why people should come to AA. They should believe they can change by coming here. Then they decide to change, and then they inventory the change. Now, this is the key. The fourth step is important because you have to know what you have to be changed and what you need to be rid of. And you look at your resentments and your fears and your harms, and you see how your thinking was dominated by selfish design of self-seeking motives. And then you take actions to change in 5 and 11, and step 12 is your change. You could see now that faith is knowledge that comes as a result of a complete process. Step 12 is the conclusion. And you don't expect faith in step two. That's where some people say, well, I prayed to God today, and then nothing worked. Well, because belief without action is fantasy. So that's the deal. I took all the time. I'm sorry. But I hope this was helpful. Was it good?
Thank you. Thank you.